Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. It is the game. It is the week of the game that everybody has been talking about since the offseason. It is the game that has been hyped up since the moment that we knew it was on the slate. That's right, baby. Week four. Jaguars and Bengals tonight. Everybody's been talking about it really since the day that, well, actually, I don't know. It's really Bucks-Patriots week, but I digress. Field, Mike, and Stefania are here with you today. Very excited to have another show in which we will discuss the latest injury news with Stefania. Mike will give us his wide receiver and cornerback matchups of note. We'll preview tonight's game between the Bengals and the Jaguars, and the Bengals looking to go to 3-1. The Jaguars looking to avoid a 19th straight loss. Stefania, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Phil. How about yourself?
I'm great. And Mike, how are you today? You
good? I heard yesterday, because I actually listen on the days I'm not here, unlike Matthew, but yeah. And I really listen just to hear what you and Daniel are saying, Phil. But
thank you.
I noticed that you opened the show with asking about the favorite Fig Newton.
Right.
So, of course, that hasn't left my mind since I heard it. And
did
I have to agree with
in?
Matthew on this one, that it's the originals.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing like the original.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's my take as well.
Okay, good. Listen, I'm happy to be in the minority on that take.
What's yours?
I like the raspberry, but
the raspberry,
I also like the regulars, too. So I just, did you hear what happened on Monday or Tuesday of this week?
Nope.
Thanks for listening, Mike.
apparently, I'm the most dedicated to the show, and there's no competition
right,
for that.
I opened the show by asking Matthew how he was doing, and he was like, you know something, Field? I've noticed that you always open the show by asking me how I'm doing. I was like, usually that's how most conversations start, but Matthew being Matthew evidently thought that was like a little bit, I don't know, maybe I needed to change things up. So yesterday I was like, I'm going to come in with the most random question I can think of. That
and
has absolutely nothing to
loop.
Do. Yes,
he
right.
He was totally unprepared. He was like, wait, what? Trick question? Fig Newton flavor?
I figured that chivalry was allowed to exist on Thursdays when it's just the two of you
True.
And not Matthew.
So I appreciate it.
A traditional, how you doing? That seems reasonable enough to me. So.
Because you actually, I think, really care how we're doing. So some people ask that question and they don't. Like if Matthew's thinking, if I asked it, I don't really wait to hear your answer. I'm just moving on to the next thing.
Right. In Matthew's mind, he's like, rather than being like, hey, Stefania, like, how's it going? He'll be like, so Stefania, will you trade me DK Metcalf for Terrace Marshall Jr.? Because that's really what I care about here. And that's kind of like the extent of this conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
There we go. All right. Anyways, let's talk about football then, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's
do it.
Hey, I'm doing well too, guys. Thanks for asking. Just right here in the studio too.
Oh, sorry. Daniel, what's up, bud?
What's up, bud?
How are you?
Who's that guy?
It's our lovely Daniel Dove, the man, the myth, the legend.
Wow.
We have some injury updates and hopefully some good news to start the day, as we could all use some on this Thursday. Fine, let's go to Minnesota, where we know that Dalvin Cook missed all of last week's practice and the game when they were back on the field on Wednesday. What was Cook's participation?
He was there. He was practicing, and he actually is encouraged about his status for this coming week. Our friend Courtney Cronin, who covers the team for us, wrote a little newser about it. You should go check it out if you want his full quotes. But basically, he acknowledged that it was tough last week, but he was very optimistic based on the rehab, and he's been working around the clock to get back there. He wouldn't go as far as to say that he's definitely playing this week, but he certainly sounded optimistic about his chances.
Okay, that's excellent news, which I think everybody who has Alexander Mattison learned the value of him this past week with no Dalvin Cook, but let's hope and assume right now that Dalvin Cook does play on Sunday. The Vikings looking to build off the momentum of their week 3 win over the Seahawks. Lamar Jackson last week, Stefania, missed a day of practice because he was ill. Wednesday, he also missed practice. What's going on there?
Well, now listed with a back injury, and it sounds like there's not really much information on the nature of this, just that he took a couple good hits in last week's game. And, you know, I was a little concerned because his hip was sore, according to Adam Schefter, last week before he was reported with the illness after he did that flip into the end zone. So he's going to take enough of a beating every time he's out there that we don't need the extra added risk with somersaults and cartwheels. But the hope is that he'll be back in practice in some format today. I will be checking for updates as we're doing the show.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on whether he does practice today. No reason for major concern as of right now, as I understand it. I think we talked about this yesterday, Stefania. I could be wrong, though. No, we did not. Will Fuller, what's going on there? And I know that this is like muscle memory for you. What's going on with Will Fuller?
Yeah, well, a chest and elbow injury, you know, banged up a bit for
Will Fuller.
Yeah,
too.
It was late in the game that something happened. And again, it's really hard to get a lot on specifics early in the week. It's not clear yet whether this is going to be a threat for this week's game, but something that they obviously wanted to have him get some rest and get it addressed before we got too late in the week.
For those that may have watched that Raiders-Dolphins game, in overtime, the Dolphins tried a deep shot to Will Fuller, and it seemed like that was the play in which he went down. To your point, Stefania, no major updates since that time. We'll continue to follow his practice participation this week. Mike, I mean, we saw last week, like, you can start a Dolphins wide receiver, but you have to hope for, like, an historically inefficient performance from Jalen Waddle, as we saw this past Sunday, or you have to hope for one big one.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Will Fuller is out, though, at least you know a few more targets will be funneled to Jalen Waddle and Devontae Parker. I mean, well, not Waddle, but Parker, too. Yeah. Mike Gesicki was involved last week, too. We saw a bunch of targets for him. But it's tough right now. You know, with their uncertainty at the quarterback position, they have a good defense, so they're generally going to keep games sort of competitive and not be in massive amounts of garbage time. So it's just not a situation where I look at it and I'm like, man, I have to start these guys. I don't think they have any must starts a wide receiver right now. You're talking about like borderline flex options. The position's just so deep, you don't have to. So until one of them really kind of takes control, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, the only player who's close to a must start is a wide receiver in terms of how he's used, but not in our game. It's Mike Gesicki. He's played six snaps as a tight end this year. Six!
Yeah.
Every other snap's been lined up out wide or in the slot. I think he's got a really fascinating case, like Jimmy Graham a handful of years ago. Maybe it was more like 8 or 9 years ago during that franchise tag negotiation, if it ever got to that point.
Wait till Kyle Pitts comes up,
with
too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Same
Mike,
thing.
Let's just get him some targets before we start worrying about whether he's a tight end or a wide receiver.
Well, look, I mean, Adoree Jackson, one of the best corners in the NFL, shadowed Kyle Pitts on the perimeter last week. Yeah. There was like 11 plays he lined up out wide. He was shadowed by Adoree Jackson. I mean, he's getting the star treatment, and part of it's because they don't have Julio Jones or wide receiver depth. So, I mean, you're right. We're seeing a new age here of tight ends that are – and maybe that's the case, right? You just have so many hybrids now that they're just like – they're tight ends.
Yeah.
That's what we're going with.
Yeah, probably fair. Stefania, earlier this week, I had sort of sensed like there was a chance the Patriots might get some good news on James White. I think the Patriots sort of publicly acknowledge as much as well. Their running backs coach, Ivan Fears saying, I think it was yesterday, like, hey, we hope he's not out for the year. We just don't know. Now we have more clarity, and unfortunately, it's not good news.
Yeah, and it was news that you broke, Field, about James White being done for the year. And on Monday, I think you and I talked about the fact that we observed what happened together in the game, and I was immediately concerned just because of the mechanism of the injury. He fell on his knee. We know that that's a mechanism where it drives the femur, the thigh bone, back towards the backside of the hip, and it can result in various types of trauma, whether it's to the bone, to the socket of the hip, whether it's to the soft tissue around the hip, whatever it is, it often results in a multi-week absence. And clearly in this case, it's serious enough that they are taking him out for the year. So we hope for a full recovery for James White. Again, no more clarity on the exact nature of the injury, but serious enough that he is done.
Scary anytime you have a hip involved for a player, especially one that takes as much contact as running backs do. So the Patriots have largely had James White on the field since they drafted him. He was basically a redshirt in 2014. Since 2015, he's been a mainstay for them, Mike. He's so good at catching passes. Mm-hmm. You want to try to force the issue and find the next man up there. I don't know that the Patriots have a James White carbon copy on their roster. Do you think so?
No, they clearly don't. And we saw that this past week, right? Because they thought, who can we use as a veteran presence, just throw in there to soak up snaps? And it was Brandon Bolden, right? And he's a special teamer. He's not a guy they necessarily want to be using full-time in that role. And I think maybe with a week of practice, we see that switched up. I think Mike Reese kind of opined the same sort of thing. But if you look at the snaps in that game, it was 32 for Bolden, 22 for Harris, and 9 for J.J. Taylor. I think Taylor is a guy who potentially they could, you know, again, practice with this week and throw him into that role. It's a guy that I've looked at on waivers. So Taylor, Ramondre Stevenson, I think he has some good passing game chops, even though he's a bigger running back. Those are guys who, if they're out there on waivers, you could throw on your bench. They're just speculative ads and see what happens. If one of them comes out, has a nice couple, you know, good plays and pass protection, makes a big play in the passing game, maybe they take control of that role. But honestly, Field, I think it might be multiple backs here. Damian Harris, probably not a ton in the passing game, but you'll see some Stevenson there. You'll see some Taylor and maybe a little bit more Bolden than we would expect if White was out. But I'm not sure we're going to get any reliable starters here. But Taylor and Stevenson, the guys I'm going to grab off waivers for now.
I made the point too many times now to even repeat it anymore. But I've sort of wondered if the Patriots, by virtue of who they're playing this weekend and going forward, need to just open things up a little bit more, right? You're playing the Bucs. You can't grind out a win against them. You got to outscore them. And I've said, like, the Patriots' offense has looked at its best. It hasn't looked great, obviously, but it's looked at its best when they've gone 4 or 5 wide, let Mac Jones sort of operate at the line of scrimmage from the shotgun, and maybe the way that they replace a really good pass catcher like James White is by getting more out of their wide receivers. They pay good money to these guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kendrick Bourne, no, he had a great game last week. Yeah. We'll see. Kendrick Bourne, for the game that we play, fantasy football, where, like, volume matters so significantly, he might have the slight edge over Nelson Aguilar because Aguilar's more of a deep threat, but they need to get more out of those two guys going forward. It paid him the money to be big parts of their offense. Let's keep things moving forward to a couple of COVID updates, Stefania. We'll start in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, Antonio Brown activated from the reserve COVID-19 list. And so he is available now. And I would assume that he'll be back in practice and available for Sunday night's game. That will be nice for him and for Tom Brady as they make this visit back to New England, as you talked about. Also added to the reserve COVID-19 list, Seahawks tight end Gerald Everett, who did test positive. And so it remains unclear how long he will be out.
Okay, so no Gerald Everett for the Seahawks. They do have good depth there. Obviously, Will Disley is amongst the players they have. As the next man up, they have a big matchup, obviously, with their 49ers, Stefania. But it feels like that 49ers secondary can be had, so to speak. But
oh, you don't say.
Sorry, I did not mean to open up a sensitive subject.
Yeah.
But I don't get the sense that this doesn't have a major impact on the Tyler Lockett's or the DK Metcalf's or the Russell Wilson's of the world, just a potential vacancy for Disley or somebody else to slide into a larger role. It sounds like they might get Dee Eskridge, their second-round pick, on the field at some point, too. Exciting player out of Eastern Michigan. Stefania, there's not a quarterback battle for your team. That's what I'm told. There's no quarterback battle between Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan said so. And I think, Kyle Shanahan, to be fair, has been fairly transparent about what his plans were in the quarterback situation all along, that Jimmy Garoppolo was his job to lose, essentially, and kind of lit a fire under him. He said that he feels like Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing well. Obviously, it's not perfect, but I don't think he expects that. And he does have plans for Trey Lance. We see him get on the field for certain packages, but I don't think he believes he's ready to take the helm. And that right now, as long as Jimmy is playing well enough for Kyle Shanahan, that remains the plan, is for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the starter. He as much as indicated that there wouldn't be this rotating situation, kind of like we saw in that preseason game where they were rotating them in and out of series. But sounds like when you're going to see Trey Lance is more in these special situations, at least for the time being.
And I kind of get it. You know, this is going to be one of those things that every Sunday when Jimmy Garoppolo is not looking good, people are going to say, hey, what's the deal here? Why not more Trey Lance? And in some ways, those touchdowns that we saw, or that touchdown that we saw from Trey Lance, doesn't help things, right? Because it's like, oh, I told you, you gave him the football and he scores a touchdown right away. It's also the single easiest play in NFL history to run for a good
athlete. Can I just say
something
about that play? It was funny because I was watching.
I could have scored, Stefania. I run a 9.240.
But it was also the play, like, as soon as they line up, I go, look, the receivers are in a bunch on the right. He's going to run to the left. That's going to be the play. And it's exactly the way that it was set up. It's exactly what we saw in training camp. So it wasn't really a huge surprise. And I thought Jimmy Garoppolo played better than people are giving him credit for. Yes, there are a couple of things that he would take back, but he engineered a drive that got them down the field and had them leading by the time with 37 seconds left, the only problem being Aaron Rodgers on the other side of that 37 seconds.
37 seconds. I don't know. Again, we've been talking about this a lot this week. It's just like, I know we all see a special skill set in Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and also Zach Wilson. But these coaches have every bit of information. If Trey Lance was demonstrably better than Jimmy Garoppolo, he'd be starting right now, Mike.
Right.
I know that there are things that he does a lot better than him. And I know that Jimmy Garoppolo ain't Tom Brady back there. But the fact of the matter is, this team, which is, by the way, clearly good enough to win a lot of games this year with Jimmy Garoppolo, is going to stick by the player that they think is better. Let me ask you this fantasy question-wise. Trey Lance a droppable player right now?
He's certainly not a must roster player, much like Justin Fields was. You know, coming into the season, you could say the same thing, right? As long as they're not starting, they're not must roster guys. The thing is, as it's going to come down to two letters, W and L, wins and losses for the 49ers, right? If they're winning games, Garoppolo is still going to be in there unless he's really struggling and they're overcoming that, which is unlikely. But if they're losing games at some point, Lance is going to get the call. But here's the thing. I think you can honestly make the case that Lance is more valuable in fantasy than Garoppolo. Why? Because you're not starting Garoppolo because Lance is there. He's already stolen two touchdowns in three games. So how could you feel confident putting him into your lineup as a top 10 or top 12 option? I'm pretty much never going to have him ranked there barring the greatest of circumstances or if Trey Lance is out. So I think you can make the case that Lance is one of those guys on the end of your bench with some upside. Should he get the call? Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo, his durability hasn't been great throughout his career as well. So he's on that list, that short list of upside guys for the end of your bench, but he's definitely not a guy you must keep on your fantasy roster.
I think just to throw this in here, even though it's not on the list, I mean, there's always 49ers to talk about. I think the more important injury situations for this week for the 49ers, and we'll update it tomorrow, is the status of Elijah Mitchell, who's limited, and we don't know what the running back situation is going to be this week. And then George Kittle was on the injury report because of a calf issue, but he's expected to play.
Okay, that's good news there for George Kittle, who he always plays. Well, I guess he's had some injuries. But
not last year.
I'll just say this. When it's an injury you can just manage, George Kittle is certainly going to be able to play. All right, and with that, it's time now for our game preview.
Game preview.
Thank you, Daniel, very much for that. And again, this is an exciting matchup here between the Jaguars and the Bengals. If you are into the big storylines, which there is, which is Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, they faced off against each other during their college days. They have a chance to do so again tonight. Both teams feeling very good about their futures. Jacksonville fans a little bit less optimistic about their present. But let's begin on the Jacksonville side. And Mike, coming into the season, Trevor Lawrence was, generally speaking, ranked highest amongst rookie quarterbacks in fantasy. That's been correct. The problem is he hasn't been as good as advertised, right? I mean, yeah, for fantasy.
No one has worked out yet so far. It's crazy. Yes. Yeah, QB 29 so far.
Yeah, not great.
Like, could we fill in 29, 30, 31, 30? That's like all the rookies, like, right now.
Bet they're, like, is there, like, a backup quarterback who's actually outscored him to this point?
I don't know. That's okay. A good question. Like, is Andy Dalton ahead, maybe? He only played a game in a third. But anyway, yes, it's been a struggle. He actually had 19 points in week one, right? So he got off to that decent start. He's had 7 total points over the past 2 weeks. He's 9th in pass attempts. That's good. He's getting some passing game volume, but 5.7 yards per attempt. Extremely poor. 7 interceptions already. That's crushing you. And only 46 rushing yards. So he's not making up for those inefficiencies with his legs. Also, how about the Bengals defense so far, right? You know, I know the schedule hasn't been the hardest, but they have played pretty well. 2nd most pass attempts faced, right? Because they've been ahead quite a bit. Teams are playing catch up. But mid-pack and yards and touchdowns allowed, they've allowed the 4th fewest fantasy points over expected. Yeah, it was Big Ben, Kirk Cousins, and then Dalton Fields, the game Dalton got hurt. That's who they faced so far. 3rd lowest yards per attempt allowed. So Lawrence not playing well. And even though he gets good volume, the inefficiencies, and honestly, again, the Bengals playing pretty good defensively, and Jacksonville's on the road here. He should be nowhere close to lineups. Honestly, in 2 quarterback leagues, you don't really want to start him.
I think he's going to get there this season, though, at some point. Like, sure. I think things are going to settle down. He's too good. They've got enough pass catchers that are reasonable enough. They're going to get things sorted out in the running game. The offensive line's not going to get much better, but I think the better days are ahead for Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, I don't know what his roster percentage is right now, and especially in 10 or 12 team leagues, but he'll be fine. He'll be fine eventually.
You just want him to continue being aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Try to make plays, because we've seen that before. The guys who are really conservative seem to struggle. Maybe they never get going. They don't have any pocket presence. The guys who come out and are aggressive, think about, and again, I'm not saying he is this player, but you think about Peyton Manning, how many interceptions he threw as a rookie, right? Those guys come out, they're aggressive, and then eventually they figure it out and they turn into big time production. So I'm with you. Just keep playing ball. He'll figure it out.
That was the one thing. That was the one record that Peyton Manning wanted him to break, right? It's Peyton Manning said, the only record I want him to break for me is my rookie interception record.
He is rostered in 48% of leagues, Field Yates.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty high.
Yeah, tough day right here, right now. Kyle's sending me along the fantasy points so far for these various rookies. It is not pretty, so I'm not even going to share the numbers. All right, let's move forward here to James Robinson. And James Robinson, we saw an encouraging week 3. He had 21 touches, which is nearly as many as he had in weeks 1 and 2 combined when he had just 22. Mike, I think things are trending in the right direction here. Another player that I'm excited about going forward in this Jacksonville offense.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, last year, we know how good he was last season. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry. He's actually 5.2 this year, so he's actually been a little more efficient. He didn't want to get too caught in yards per carry, but nonetheless, averaging over 5 yards per carry, that's good. The problem is he's 27th in carries so far, right? He's not getting a ton of volume there. He is 10th in targets, so he's making up a little bit for that. Remember last year when he played, he was top 10 in carries and targets at the running back position, which obviously helped his cause. Had the big week three, but remember, under 10 fantasy points in weeks one and two, so we don't want to get too carried away. And that's why I check in around RB20 here. I think he's kind of a mid-range RB2 option this week. Again, talking Bengals defense, right? They faced 39 running back targets so far. That is most, but they're allowing 4.9 yards per target. That is sixth best. They're also allowing 3.0 yards per carry. That's fourth best. The Vikings, Steelers, and Bears running backs against them did not clear 67 rushing yards. None of them, you know, each of the three units, none of them cleared 67 yards. So, again, another situation here where the Bengals playing good defense, shutting down running backs, and that should hurt Robinson a little bit.
You know what? I just figured this out, though. This is good. So this is the fantasy football gods putting the Jaguars on prime time tonight. And here's the reason why. Is that we all try to watch as many games as we can during Sundays. However, there is nothing like watching a game in which there is no other game to compete with it on. Every take you have gets amplified 100 times over. Our friend Ryan Russillo used to talk about this. Remember the year that the Eagles played the Falcons on Thursday Night Football in week 1 of the season?
No.
Mike,
after they won the Super Bowl.
After they won the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Matt Ryan struggled in that game. And everybody was like, Matty Ice is done. Mm-hmm. Matty Ice, kick him out of the league, right? Because he struggled in prime time. It's the only game we're watching. That can have a really strong impact on our perceptions of players. It can also work in our favor, though, because tonight what's going to happen is James Robinson is going to have a couple runs, and we're going to be like, dude, this guy is such a baller. Remember how good he was last year? And then Carlos Hyde's going to have a carry, and you're going to be like, wait, why is he ceding carries to Carlos Hyde?
Sorry, Stefania.
We need the pressure of Thursday Night Football to bring James Robinson back to life. Thursday Night Football is the rising tide that floats James Robinson's value back into a top 15 player at the position.
All right.
You follow me there?
You're in on Robinson. All in on Robinson. Big week.
I have him at 20. I have him at the exact same spot that you do. More so just like, it's going to get better. Opportunities like tonight can help. There's some fantasy karma involved tonight. I'm just feeling it.
I think what you're saying is go to DraftKings, set a showdown lineup, and throw Robinson in that captain slot.
I was thinking Carlos Hyde in the captain slot.
Carlos Hyde in the captain slot.
You know what I did last week? I played one of those games, and I had Christian McCaffrey in the captain slot, or two weeks ago. And look what happened.
Yikes.
Hey, I sat with Robbie
Anderson. So.
Yeah.
I had Anthony Miller, which was a good call, but Robbie, anyway.
Yeah. Whatever.
Just complaining about our fantasy.
Well, I had captain's lineup.
No one cares about our fantasy teams. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Let's keep moving here then to DJ Chark, who, Mike, he scored in two of three games this season. That's good news. Problem is, it just the volume has not been consistent and the efficiency has not been great. In week one, I believe it was, 3 of 12 in terms of targets. He had 3 catches on 12 targets. Is this, if you were to size up what's going wrong, is it like just too many deep shots, which we know by design are a lot lower percentage? Or is there something that you're seeing that might suggest a chemistry issue between he and Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, it's almost like he's in that sort of Darius Slayton role,
right?
Just a situational role. And it did lead to a lot of targets in week 1, but he only has 8 in the past 2 games, 68 yards and 8 targets his past 2 games. And look, a touchdown doesn't cut it anymore, a wide receiver. You know, maybe a decade ago it did, but he has 2 touchdowns, to your point. His weekly finishes so far, 24, 87, 28. You know what I mean? He's not even cracking the top 23 running back or wide receivers with those couple of touchdowns. He's outside the top 40 receivers in catches, receiving yards, and expected touchdowns as well. So he's not getting enough volume near the goal line. Marvin Jones is just taking control. We didn't know for sure. Like, there was swirlings that maybe Jones was Lawrence's guy in the offseason, but we weren't sure really how that would work out once the games actually started. But that has, as we'll talk about in a second, Jones has been the guy, and Chark has been left behind, and they're featuring Robinson, obviously, and Chenault has a lot of targets, as we'll get to. They've been thrown to the tight ends at times. They just traded for a tight end. So I don't know. I don't know that Chark is ever going to be a consistent producer, and it's disappointing. It just kind of leaves him as a borderline flex play.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You just got to hope for a touchdown or two, as you're describing. Like, you can't just have a 3-catch, 52-yard and a touchdown performance. They may not be good enough given how many good wide receivers there are in the NFL and fantasy football today. Marvin Jones, he was saying, like, we're going to get there. Well, here's the good news. We are here, and Marvin Jones has 8 or more targets in every game this season. He's got 55 or more receiving yards in every game this season. Mike, I think the difficulty of throws is lower towards Marvin Jones, like more of the short to intermediate game. The chemistry is apparently there. And he's just like, it's not like Marvin Jones being more productive than DJ Chark is some great miracle. Like, Marvin Jones, been in the league for a long time, really good football player.
Yeah, no question about it. He's been top 36 all 3 weeks. So he's giving you a floor and he can deliver a high ceiling. He's 20th on the season. You just talked about his consistent yardage and target usage week to week. And also still getting those end zone targets. We talked about him in the offseason about how he consistently is up top in average depth of target and end zone targets. He has four of those. He's third among wide receivers there, and he's sixth in air yards. So again, getting the high value targets this season as well. So like the volume of targets, like the location of those targets, his target share is 25%, which is pretty gigantic. It's going to keep him afloat in fantasy. The Bengals, by the way, ninth most fantasy points to receivers. They face a lot of volume, right? If we adjust for that, they're only 19th. They face 73 wide receiver targets. That's fourth most, but they're seventh lowest in terms of yards per target allowed. So kind of a tough situation. Again, they're leading, you know, teams are trailing. It's a new phenomenon for the Bengals here. We haven't seen this in a long time. So if Trevor Lawrence has to throw it a lot, these guys may benefit from that. And we expect that to be the case going forward that this season. That could include tonight. It's about a touchdown underdog they are playing here at Cincinnati. So it should be plenty of volume here for Marvin Jones.
My fear coming into the season for Laviska Shenault was that he was going to end up in a role that requires otherworldly volume to be fantasy relevant. And it feels like that's kind of where we're at, Mike. His targets by week have decreased 10 to 7 to 4. And the way he's being utilized is that, I mean, it's like Wes Welker back in the day, right? Everything is at or near the line of scrimmage. And unless you're catching 100 balls in a year, that probably isn't going to work out, right? We've seen this with Jarvis Landry types as well. It's disappointing. We all like the player. We all think the talent's pretty unique, but he's much more of like an X-factor wild card than he is a consistent fantasy threat or anywhere close to it.
Yeah, last week he had a 20-yard catch like at the beginning of the game, and I was like,
oh my,
is that a typo?
God.
Like, is that a mistake or so? Like, what happened, right? Of course, it didn't work out the rest of the way. He just had a few more targets, to your point. So, yeah, 13, 9, and 2 are his fantasy point totals so far. 95 yards and 19 targets. His average depth of target, just to put a number on it, 4.6. That's fourth lowest among all receivers with 15-plus targets. It just, again, opposite of Marvin Jones. You know, the volume, the target volume's okay, but they're not high-value targets. He's not startable right now. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, 13 catches for 95 yards on the year for Laviska Shenault. Just over 7 yards per catch. We're going to come back and talk about the Bengals. We have an important injury update on one of their wide receivers.
But one quick thing, just for people to know, if they were planning on using Josh Lambeau, the kicker for the Jaguars is out due to a personal matter. So just make sure you don't have him in your lineup.
Okay, no Josh Lambeau tonight. They have a practice squad kicker, I'm pretty sure.
Matthew Wright, I believe it is.
Matthew Wright, of course.
Of course,
you gotta be freaking kidding me.
The former Lion, wasn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Daniel, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you know that?
Come on,
Daniel's a Fairweather fan. We all know that.
Guys, come on now.
We'll talk about the Cincinnati Bengals with an important injury update there as well in a minute. But first, hey, college football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back, and so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even dipper.
Yes.
Nope. Yum.
You said dipper?
Dipper.
That was intentional.
Oh, that was
last
a joke.
Time. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. This time it was.
This time it felt. You said it with confidence, so it did feel intentional. Yeah. Sorry, I got it.
So crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole tossing arm, and return to glory with an all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Fantasy Focus Football is also brought to you by Gum Out. To get peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technology, and even ingredients. But when it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gum Out with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. And it's also their newest technology. I mean, think of it like this. You've evolved your stat tracking, right? It's not just catches and yards and touchdowns anymore. You're tracking targets and yards after catch, even the DVOA. So why not evolve your car's performance too? In fact, cars on Gum Out get even better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gum Out into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. And it's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running right with Gum Out. Now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car. All right, Field, let's dive a little deeper on the Bengals.
Good call, Daniel. I was just waiting for the slate to clear right there, as it did. And we begin with an injury update in Cincinnati, and Stefania T. Higgins missed week 3. Is he back for week 4?
He is not. Okay. T. Higgins already ruled out for this game and had a shoulder injury. If you guys recall, Joe Mixon last year had a foot injury, and we never heard anything about the nature of the injury, the specifics. We were kind of held at bay. Will he or won't he come back? Now, I'm not saying that T. Higgins is expected to miss a long period of time. I'm just saying don't expect the Bengals to offer us more information than what they absolutely have to. In fact, T. Higgins went in as a limited participant late last week, yet came out with a doubtful tag. It was a bit of a surprise. We thought maybe he'd be upgraded on the weekend because the Bengals did say they'd be reevaluating him on Saturday. When he didn't play then, I thought it was likely that he would miss this game on a short week dealing with that shoulder injury. So we'll hope that in 10 days, he'll be available for the Packers.
I don't like that update, Stefania.
Nope.
Don't
like
it. Don't like it. I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed because now I'm nervous. I mean, I know that you're saying, like, don't necessarily be nervous, but these injury reports can certainly leave some room for not interpretation, but for further questioning. And hopefully Tiggins is back in week 5. We shall see. But for now, let's dive into the other Bengals players who are involved tonight. And Mike, Joe Burrow is one of those players who, coming into the season, I think he was sort of teetering on that border of whether you could feel comfortable with him as a starting quarterback in like a 14 or 16 team league. What do you make of his matchup tonight and how he's performed so far this season?
Yeah, again, last year he was kind of bordering on QB1 value because he had so much volume,
so
right?
So much volume.
This year, it is the opposite. Again, game scripts have been good. They've been running the ball a ton. They haven't really needed him. He's QB23 in fantasy points. 17th has been his best weekly finish so far. He's 29th in pass attempts. You're just not going to do it unless you're running
a lot. Winston right now.
Right, and exactly, same kind of thing. And he doesn't make up for that with his legs. He's 9 rushing yards so far. He does have 7 passing touchdowns. It's 5th mo, so that's kind of helped him a little bit in 2 QB leagues, but just not enough to be a good fantasy quarterback right now. The good news is, you know, maybe he does have another 3 or 4 touchdown game because they're playing Jacksonville and they're struggling against the pass. 9.2 yards per attempt, 74% completion percentage. Both of those are third highest in the league this season. They only have 4 sacks, 1 interception. They've allowed at least 290 yards in all 3 games so far. So maybe he pulls it off this week, but he's still a risky play just because, again, no legs and they're going to be able to run the ball here at home.
There are other more popular streaming options this week, I would think, than Joe Burrow, whether it's somebody like, I'm trying to think of a good example here, but I just have it on the tip of my tongue, and now I can't think of
Taylor,
who it is.
Who's Washington Heineke's playing?
Pretty good
Taylor
one.
Heineke,
they're,
Atlanta,
yeah,
right?
They're playing Atlanta. Yeah. That would be one to consider. There are a few others that I think sort of are close enough that you would prefer them over someone like Joe Burrow. But let's go to Joe Mixon, who you're going to find too many running backs, or you're not going to find too many running backs that you prefer over Joe Mixon. I've got him 6 on my board. Mike, you have him all the way up at number 4 on your board, and the volume this year for Joe Mixon has been incredible.
Right. If you're not throwing, like we said, that Joe Burrow hasn't been throwing, of course, you're running the ball, and it's been the Joe Mixon show. I mean, 18-plus carries in every game so far this season. He's second at running back in touches, carries, rushing yards. If there's a problem here, it's the passing game usage. We need more of that, right? Mm. We're seeing like some Chris Evans worked in, Samaje Perine's got some work. He only has 3 targets over his past
really?
2 games.
Okay.
Not enough, right? We got it. We have to pick that up. You're not going to really offset that with carries unless you're Derrick Henry and you're going for 180 on, you know, 25 carries. And really, we haven't seen that kind of thing from Joe Mixon usually. So need more passing game work. The Jags have allowed the 5th most fantasy points to running backs. They've allowed the 2nd most rushes, but they're only allowing 3.3 yards per carry, which is 8th best. So kind of an interesting matchup, right? I mean, the teams have run the ball a lot against Jacksonville, have scored a bunch of rushing touchdowns, but the efficiency has not been very good. So it's kind of an interesting matchup for Mixon. But nonetheless, I ranked him top 5. They should be ahead. They should be running the ball. He's a really good player. Hopefully we get 5 targets instead of 1 or 2. But at the end of the day, you have Mixon. He's in your lineup.
Lineup lock for Joe Mixon tonight. And it's time now for us to get to the wide receiver cornerback matchups of the week. And it's not that we're done with this game preview. It's that Mike Lay's column, which of course is out now on ESPN+, highlights teams that have positive matchups and teams that have negative matchups. And one that has a positive matchup is the Bengals, Mike. So let's get into the 2 leftover wide receivers, Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd. Tell me about Jamar Chase's forecast for this week.
Yeah, so again, really interesting start to his career here, right? I mean, he's the number 11 scoring receiver. That's terrific. He's 2 20-plus point games, at least 1 touchdown in all 3 games. This is all good news, right? But there's some problems here. He's only averaging 5.3 targets per game. Yep. That is a number that needs to go up. So, look, especially because we're talking about, you know, it's a primetime game here. We're excited to see these, you know, these young players on these teams. We're gonna miss T. Higgins, right? It'd be awesome to see him in this game tonight. But he's out. That should mean more volume for Tyler Boyd and Ja'Marr Chase. So that's the good news. That's why I have him ranked just inside my top 20. But also, you know, he has the 4 touchdowns. His expected touchdown total is 0.9.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of big, long touchdowns. And I know you're going to say, well, he's just a really good player and he'll keep it up. And maybe to some extent he will. But even the best players in NFL history can't continually just hit these big plays for touchdowns over and over and again. He's going to regress to the mean to some extent. So we need more target volume for him to keep producing at a high level. But go ahead.
Like, he's the only player in the NFL that has a 30-plus yard touchdown this season in every single game. Okay?
Yeah.
Is Tyreek Hill awesome? Has he done that?
No.
No, how about Devontae Adams? And how about A.J. No. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Cooper Kupp? Like, all these awesome players. Like, I suggested the other day that, and I think it'd be hard to do right now because the game is so close, and I do like his outlook for tonight. But if Ja'Marr Chase goes on another heater tonight, Mike, and the volume is not significant, like if he has 15 to 18 or 20 fantasy points on, let's call it 6 targets or 7 targets, I think he'd be a prime sell high candidate potentially. Yeah. And I was using names. Like I was saying to Matthew, like, I'm not selling high for a guy like A.J. Brown who's like currently hurt and hasn't played well, right? I'm talking about like go big game hunting. Like I was saying, like the name I used was CeeDee Lamb. Like, yeah. See if you can get CeeDee Lamb, who, by the way, has not been terrible, but has not had, I don't think, the same number of total fantasy points as Ja'Marr Chase. And while Chase has been awesome, I still prefer Lamb for the rest of the season.
Uh-huh.
Or Amari Cooper, yeah. Same team. Like, you can go big game hunting if he has another huge night tonight, because to your point, he's caught a touchdown on 25% of his targets. Not even his catches, just targets. That's incredible. That's Bob Tonyan stuff right there.
Yeah, no question about it. So let's keep an eye on tonight and see what the volume is. Because remember, they haven't had to throw the ball much. But if they do and they're behind more and more competitive games, maybe he gets up to 7, 8, 9 targets a game. Sure. And if he does, I mean, he could just light it up going forward this season. Joe Burrow has played relatively well so far at that 3-interception game. But, you know, he's been competent, right? He could get the ball to these guys, obviously. So it's a situation to monitor. I'll be keeping a close eye on him tonight. But really quick, the matchup, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's Jacksonville, 15th most wide receiver targets faced. They've allowed 654 yards. That is 4th most. Yards per target and catch rate to receivers are both highest in the NFL. They have struggled so badly. So obviously, they traded for a corner, right, this week? This past week?
Actually, no.
Oh, they traded away their first-round corner from last year, right?
Correct.
They moved on from him. You know, he hasn't been great so far, but obviously they lost some personnel there. They have Shaq Griffin, Tyson Campbell, second-round rookie, and then we'll see what they do in the slot. Chris Claybrooks has been holding down the four. Trey Herndon, Nevin Lawson haven't played a snap this year. But nonetheless, they have struggled against the perimeter and the slot. They have personnel issues. There's a lot of reasons to like the Bengals receivers in this game.
All right, and by the way, just to wrap that up before we go to a live read and finish up with more wide receivers and cornerbacks, Tyler Boyd, same deal here, Mike. Like, you love the matchup here. You like the matchup. Like, you think that slot, corner spot, is just like so completely unpredictable that, like, yep. Tyler Boyd's a lineup lock. Is he a top 20 play, top 25?
I have him 26. He hasn't beat wide receiver 30 so far this season, but he's handling a career high target share, 26%. Okay. So again, if they need to throw it a little bit, he'll be okay. But it is a good matchup. So far, he lacks a ceiling because he doesn't get goal line work, and it's a short area stuff like we were just talking about with Waddle before.
Yeah.
So that bothers you a little bit. But again, if this game is not a complete blowout, he could see 6, 7, 8 targets, and that'll be enough to be a wide receiver 3 play. So yes, if I have him, unless I'm loaded at receiver, he's in my lineup.
Can we pick it before? Okay, let's pick it. Let's pick this game tonight. I'm going to go to the Bengals to go 3-1. How about you, Mike?
Yes, sir. 26-19 Bengals.
Bengals.
You know, I just because I want to take the Jaguars, but I can't. I can't, guys. What's the line? Will you give me points?
7.5.
It's 7.5.
That's a big number. Yeah.
No respect for the Jaguars.
I'm really close to that.
Wow. I'm gonna say the Bengals. Sorry.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry, Duval.
We have Duval Nation. A clean sweep for the Bengals. All this confidence behind Cincinnati. I love it.
Yes.
Good stuff here. All right, we're gonna come back and finish up with Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchups in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you're doing it. I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Forge your NFL dynasty in Madden NFL 22 with new franchise features that deliver even more control. Manage your coaching staff and upgrade them with new talents. Devise a new game plan for every opponent with in-depth weekly strategy. Experience the ups and downs of a real NFL season with the enhanced season engine. Madden NFL 22. Game day happens here. Available now. Boy, as if I didn't love the ups and downs. Oh, okay, hold on. Boy, as if I didn't love the ups and downs of an NFL season just in real life, I can also experience the ups and downs in Madden, too.
Maybe you should play another. Maybe you should be somebody else besides the Lions.
Someone other than the Lions when I play Madden.
You're immune to it all, Daniel.
Yeah. Have you been playing it? Enjoying it?
I love Madden.
Yeah. I know you're a longtime player.
I'm in the Madden game.
I know you're in the Madden game. You and Matthew both. Matthew says the weirdest stuff. But your stuff is always on point.
I got fired. I did an insensitive tweet in the game, so.
Is that what? Wow. That's
what? They're like auto-generated.
That's funny.
I did do that for a couple of years.
That is funny because they are all auto-generated.
Yeah, they were kind of bad, though. Like, mine were program weird where they were saying, like, the Browns have a great matchup against the Browns this week. And, like, people used to send screenshots to me all the time. I'm like, I'm not actually tweeting this stuff, right? Like.
Oh man, a lot of AI out there. There's a lot of AI in the fantasy community, though, right? Like, I'll just be quick here. I play one league on a platform that's not ESPN. It's not my decision. It was never my okay. Oh, I did not sign it up.
This is like
this league is like 10 years running. So it's a keeper league, and it's really hard. It would be really hard for us to offload the data into a different system. And before this season, I got picked to finish last in our league, and then yesterday we got our Week 4 report, and it was like I was the second ranked team in the power rankings, and it was like just as we predicted during the preseason, Fields' team is strong. And so the commissioner and I were texting. He's like, "Dude, what is going on here?" Like, I thought we all punked you because, you know, I get a lot of crap if my team does not look good on paper coming into the season, right? So
can't imagine that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. None of us ever heard mean things on the internet. Let's move forward, or I guess move on with Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchups. And we talked about the good side, Mike. Let's talk about more of the good side here. Mm-hmm. As we have, I feel like you're kind of picking on the Vikings.
I know, man.
But just say this your thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at myself here, right? Because I was so high in the Vikings defense coming into the season. And look,
they were better last week.
Look, they could be 3-0. They had a couple. They lost in overtime to the Bengals. They missed a field goal against Arizona. It's just
Kirk Cousins could be your MVP front runner.
Right. It's just crazy. Like they are playing well offensively, really well offensively. They were top 5 in touchdowns last year offensively. And the defense, I think, will come around once everybody gets healthy and they kind of come together. A lot of turnover in the offseason, a lot like Cleveland, right? A lot of roster turnover, but the talent is really good. So anyway, they're playing each other this week. Odell Beckham, a good matchup here against the Vikings, the way they're playing in the secondary right now. Breland, again, we picked on him last week, but he allowed 6 catches on 6 targets for 67 yards and a touchdown against Seattle. He's having a hard time this year. He's allowed 64 fantasy points. It's second most among all defenders. As a group, the Vikings, 4th most fantasy points to receivers and most over expected, and the 4th most to the perimeter. Odell Beckham last week, 83% perimeter. He's backed. He looked terrific. He looked healthy. He was heavily targeted. He's going to see some Peterson. He's going to see a lot of Breland in this game as well. If you have Beckham, no reservations, right? You're starting him again this week.
Yeah, you've got him at 27. I have him at 32 on my board amongst wide receivers this week. Another matchup that, Mike, this feels like one where all the buzz this week leading up to the Patriots and the Bucs has been about all the advantages the Bucs have against the Patriots. However, there might be one that you like for New England.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. You think about the matchup, right, personnel-wise, and we know teams don't run, and I'll get into this more in a second. Teams do not run against the Bucs because they're a dominant defense against running backs. They just shut them down consistently all the way going back to the beginning of last season. And also, they have good linebackers, right? That makes you a little nervous about Henry and Jonnu Smith, right? So where are the targets going to go? You would expect them to be funneled to the receivers. And that's what's happened so far this season. The Buccaneers have allowed the most fantasy points to receivers, the most to left perimeter receivers, the most to right perimeter receivers, 5th most to the slot. Wherever these guys are lining up, they are beating up on the Buccaneers. They've actually, you know, the funny thing is they've been okay, right? They're actually about average in terms of actual allowed versus expected. But the problem is they face 95 wide receiver targets, right? To my point, their teams are just attacking the wide receivers against this group. And let's talk about their cornerback situation here, Field, right? So you have Sean Murphy Bunting, a starter. He's out. He's on IR.
Yep.
Jamel Dean got hurt last week. He's questionable this week. And then you have Delaney would be the next guy up to replace him. Ross Cockrell's manning the slot in place of Murphy Bunting. And then you have Carlton Davis, right? Who I think, you know, I've talked him up a lot. He's a good young corner in the league. At times, he's been really good. Last week, the Rams threw four touchdowns. He was the assigned corner. He was a lined up against the guy who scored on all four touchdowns. And they weren't all his fault, but some of them were his fault, right? He made some mistakes for sure. So across the board, they're having cornerback issues, whether it's injury or execution. Teams are attacking wide receivers against them. And now you have Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne coming off a good game. They're going to see Davis or Dean or Delaney on the outside. A lot of Ds there. And then Jacoby Myers is 82% slot. He'll be up against Ross Cockrell. So across the board, even if they're not super efficient, it should be a high-volume game here for the Patriots wide receivers. So I think they're upgrades.
We'll see if the Patriots decide to take a much more aggressive approach this week and if they want to let Mac Jones look more like the player he was during his time at Alabama, during his final season there. If you had to pick one, I'm assuming you picked Jacoby Myers amongst the Patriots wide receivers?
Yes, I like him. Yeah, I have him kind of high. He's one of the guys that just kind of pops, just like a high-ranked guy this week. So hey, lots of targets there.
There you have
it. I posted this stat on Twitter. He is the most, if you just line up everyone who doesn't have a receiving touchdown in NFL history, all the wide receivers that haven't scored, he has the most targets.
He's never scored a receiving touchdown?
He's never caught a touchdown in his career.
He's thrown one.
Over 100 catches.
And that's amazing.
He's thrown two? Yeah. So
wow.
Everyone else, like if you look at the leaderboard, like everyone who's caught at least 52 passes at wide receiver in the NFL has at least one touchdown. Over 100 catches. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, at some point, he'll catch one and that stack gets thrown in the garbage, but it's just crazy that he hasn't found the end zone yet. It's just
Do you think
terrible.
When Mike puts his daughters to bed, that this is the kind of nighttime story he reads? Yeah. Where it's like, and once there was a wide receiver that had over 100 catches, but no touchdowns. But he threw for two passing touchdowns. What, Daddy? Are you serious? Two passing touchdowns? Is that how it goes?
Look, they kind of snuggle with them at bedtime, and we watch the games on Thursdays and Sunday and Monday nights. So they watch with me. Sometimes when I'm working, my 5-year-old who just does her own thing, she'll come down and I have that magnet board I've posted on with the, and she just plays with them. You know, just moves them around, talks about the logos and stuff like they're into it. You know, they
that's so dope.
Listen, they're going to awesome. Take our jobs when they, you know, they're I love it. You know,
I think Zoe will.
They
will.
They're
taking over the world.
They will.
You'll love to see it.
Zoe and Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan so Schefter.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
She's rock star. Rock
super
star. Let's get to the matchup downgrades here, Mike. Yep. And this one, I think there's a health component that I want to ask Stefania about first. So DeAndre Hopkins, Stefania, obviously played last week, but was clearly banged up. What's his status right now, early in the week for the Cardinals?
Well, as of today, he is back in practice. So just got that update that he's back in practice today. Clearly last week, you know, we said you can't really leave DeAndre Hopkins on your bench if he's playing in a game because we've seen him play through things so many times. Obviously, rib injury is much tougher because of all the compromise as far as absorbing contact and even just being able to run around. But DeAndre Hopkins was on the field. It wasn't that he wasn't out there, and he may have effectively served as a decoy if you look at the production of his counterparts there in A.J. Green and Christian Kirk. But this week, it looks like he's back in practice. I would expect him to play and probably with another week of rest, be a little bit healthier than he was last week.
But this is the matchup of the week, in my opinion, in terms of individual player versus another individual player. So, Mike, tell us more about what we need to know against Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, this is interesting, right? So DeAndre Hopkins, Arizona is one of the only teams that doesn't move their receivers around. So DeAndre Hopkins, left wide perimeter, 80% of his routes this season. That's where he's lined up. The Rams all had the third most fantasy points at slot. So this must be an upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is last year he did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Ramsey played the star position most of the season, moving around. But when they played Arizona, just somehow he ended up lining up at that spot the whole game. I wonder why, right? It's almost like they knew where DeAndre Hopkins lines up. So I expect them to do the same thing. In last year's two games, he was on him on 55 of his 68 routes. That is a big number. It's even when guys are shadowing, that's a high percentage. 50 of his 56 perimeter routes. Hopkins in those games, 12 catches, 87 yards, one touchdown on 23 targets. When he was against Ramsey, only 6 for 52 and no touchdowns on 16 targets. So even when they tried to go to him, Ramsey did a nice job. He was unable to catch the ball very much. So Ramsey hasn't shadowed this season. It's not 100% because Hopkins hasn't been dominating like he normally does. I think there's a really good chance you see Ramsey in that spot throughout this game.
I've got him at wide receiver 16. You have him at wide receiver 13, Mike, but still some concerns about DeAndre Hopkins having a monster day on Sunday. A couple more downgrades for the wide receiver cornerback matchups. Let's go to one that features two players who have been exceptional for their respective teams this season.
Yeah, so Stephon Diggs and his brother Trevon Diggs both have a catch all 3 weeks so far.
How about that?
How about that?
That's
right?
Amazing.
That's Ron another.
Diggs right. has an interception yes, in every game.
You,
that was definitely like.
I stole that from somewhere. Who said that?
I was going to say, do you run out of just normal stats? And you're like, what kind of dumb stuff can I find to bring on the show?
Mike is going to be writing popsicle stick jokes for us one
yes,
day.
Yes, like, that's true.
Yeah, I got you covered. Or just put, I'll just put stats on there.
Like, yes.
Players correct. OTD. Yeah. Anyway, the kids will be like, what is this? I'm not. Anyway.
Zoe's going to be like, well, OTD, guys, is.
I'll be right that's on you. The next stick. You have yeah. to eat the next popsicle, and then you get the. All right. Let's talk about this back. DJ Moore. Yeah, terrific this season, but Trevon Diggs has been awesome. On top of the interceptions, he has been shut down in coverage. He shadowed Mike Evans week one. He had two catches for 15 yards against him. Keenan Allen, he shadowed most of the time in week two. Two catches for 72 yards and 19 routes against him. A little bit better there for Allen. But then Devontae Smith actually did not shadow him on Monday Night Football, but he was on him on 22 of his 40 routes. He only had two catches for 9 yards on four targets on those plays. So he's 3 for 3 against the guys he's been on the most this week, with Moore on the perimeter 84% of the time. I think he will see a lot of Trevon Diggs. I'll be surprised, honestly, if Diggs does not shadow him. Even if he doesn't, over half the time, he's going to be in that spot on the field, and he's going to see him much like Devontae Smith. So a tough matchup for sure, much like Jalen Reagor and Antonio Brown and Mike Williams. They draw the other side against Anthony Brown. He has struggled this season. He's got the fourth most fantasy points among defenders. That is perhaps good news, dare I say it, for Robbie Anderson, who they want to get the...
It's about time.
It's they want to get him the ball more. They've said that. Matt Rhule said they want to get him the ball more. This could be one of them fix me games, right? Or what do you call it? Like
get right game.
A get right game. That's what I'm trying to say. It could be.
Fix me. I love
fix
that.
Me. Fix me game. I love that's that. What, hashtag fix me game.
Yeah. Hashtag fix me games. I just love Robbie Anderson's player headshot. It's by far the best
it's
in the
so
NFL.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ever change right Robbie now. Anderson.
It's like a Ferris wheel of hair. It's amazing. let's move forward to one more downgrade here, Mike. That's two players who have been also awesome this season. Brandon Cooks faces off against Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, and of all the ones we've talked about, this one might scare me the most, right? Houston going into Buffalo to face this dominant pass defense. And, of course, you have Tre'Davious White, who is a candidate to shadow. He shadowed McLaurin F1 last week. McLaurin F1.
Okay, whatever. Anyway. It's okay for you to be wrong.
Okay. Bill's second fewest fantasy points to receivers so far this season. Fourth fewest to the perimeter, 10 fewest to the slot. Cooks is on the perimeter about three quarters of the time. White is going to shadow him, I believe, on those plays. That's a really tough matchup considering how well he's played, one of the best corners in the NFL, how well the Buffalo defense has played overall. Cooks will go into the slot occasionally, though, about a quarter of the time. He's not going to shadow him inside. White just plays on the perimeter, so he might escape for a few big plays. I think they'll try to get him the ball when he's in the slot this week, but it is a really tough matchup. If Cooks is going to come back to earth, I think this might be the week.
Okay, potential slow day for Brandon Cooks, who otherwise is very, very fast. Let's do a reset of these wide receivers up here on the touchscreen. Ja'Marr Chase, we decided, is going into...
Upgrade.
The matchup upgrade. Tyler Boyd goes into...
Upgrade.
All righty, and DeAndre Hopkins, he's really good. Upgrade, right?
He's going down this week against downgrade. Jalen Ramsey.
OBJ in his second game back in the season. Upgrade or downgrade?
Up against Minnesota.
Okay. And the Patriots trio of wide receivers. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, and Kendrick Bourne.
Yep, all upgrades here. Lot of passing volume here against that beat-up Tampa Bay secondary.
And then DJ Moore, he's been awesome. He has like 3,000 receiving yards this season. Upgrade or downgrade?
Trevon Diggs, also awesome. So we're going down here.
Okay, and to bring things home, Brandon Cooks faces off against Tre'Davious White.
That's rough. Downgrade.
Okay, downgrade. There you have it. There's a look at the players to get the matchup bump versus the matchup bump just going in the wrong direction. Daniel.
All right, this extra analysis is now brought to you by Corona Extra. Live the game day good life. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. And we're going to run through a couple of quick rankings things here. Mike thinks that Ezekiel Elliott against the Carolina Panthers is a mid-tier RB2. Mike, you've got him at RB15.
Yeah, this one caught my eye.
Field has him as RB7. Mike, what the heck, dude?
Yeah, what the heck, dude?
Yeah, Mike, why are you wrong? I have a lot of shares of Zeke.
Sorry. Right. I mean, tell him, Stefan.
Well, first of all, only 7 targets. It's 37th among running backs, so we want more passing game volume. I know he's been pretty good in the carry department, but again, he's only handling 52% of their carries as well. So that bothers me a little bit. Actually, it's been a while for Zeke in the passing department. This is becoming a trend. 4 or fewer targets in 11 of his past 12 games.
Wow.
So keeping an eye on that. I want more passing game volume out of him. But the key here really is the matchup, right?
Okay.
Now, again, I know the Panthers' schedule has not been super tough, but they did face Alvin Kamara, right? In that game, he had 8 carries for 5 yards and 4 catches on 6 targets for 25 yards. So they shut down Alvin Kamara, who is one of the best in the league. And also, for the Panthers, no running back unit they faced has scored a touchdown, has totaled more than 45 rush yards, has totaled more than 25 receiving yards, or totaled more than 70 scrimmage yards, or reached double-digit fantasy points. All 3 teams they faced so far, none of them have cleared any of those hurdles so far. So they have been, remember, they've invested a lot in that, you know, interior defensive line and really in free agent signings during the offseason. I'm a little nervous about that. You know, okay. I think this might be a passing game for Dallas here. The Panthers' just run defense has been straight up dominant. And again, if it was just like, okay, 3 kind of layup matchups, fine. But Alvin Kamara, too, when you see that, those atrocious numbers he put up in that game, it makes you wonder, you know?
Makes you a little bit nervous now. You still got to play him. Still got to play him. But Mike is making us all a little bit nervous. Don't worry, Stefan. We can just ignore Mike.
Yeah, but Zeke has Dak and Kamara had, you know, Jameis. So.
Ooh. Ooh. That's fair.
So I take your analysis and I throw it in the garbage.
Wow. She even did like a little, I wish you could have seen it. She like crumpled it up with her hands and then like threw it in a little trash can.
Heavily invested in Zeke Elliott.
That's correct.
That's so great.
That's correct. I'm manifesting here. That's what I'm doing. I'm manifesting. So
you two are the lowest on CEH this week against Philly. Obviously, he had a nice week last week, but I'm curious. What is it that you're looking for from Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week against Philly? And if you see more positive news, is that going to start to change your mind, or you still need to see more than just 2 games in a row from him?
2 things that I've been looking for like, what, 20 games? Mm-hmm. Passing game usage?
Yep.
And anything close to the goal line. Like, I want to see him not be ignored at the goal line, because ultimately last week was cool. It was encouraging, but I keep saying this. We're all fired up about a game in which he had 16.9 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was part of my point. Season high in carries, 17, and targets for, and he was RB 18.
Yeah.
So we're at 23, right? He had his best usage of the season and still was barely inside the top 20. Man. That should bother you a little bit. Not getting the goal line work, only 8 targets this season. And the Eagles have allowed the 9th most fantasy points, but they faced a ton of running back volumes so far this season, including Dallas last week. So, you know, we're fine. You know, we're ranking him as an RB2, but I just don't think that you feel super great about him right now. You need to see more.
All right, last one real quick. Why does Matthew have Dalton Schultz at tight end 13, and is he an idiot? Mike, you've got him at 19. Field, you have him as not rated.
Yeah, so he's not an idiot.
Not
I actually
ranked.
Mentioned this a couple days ago on Twitter, is that Dalton Schultz could get paid this offseason. Tight ends have gotten paid, like, and not tight ends who've had like Travis Kelce-like production, right? I mean, Jonnu Smith got paid a lot of money. He had never had 450 receiving yards in a season. Austin Hooper got paid a ton of money. Dalton Schultz is the next man up. You look at his numbers since the start of last year, they're really good. The reason why it's harder to rank him, though, Mike, is simply because what is he on his own team in terms of he's probably the number 3 or 4 or 5 target. And he had, what, a very, very, very good week 3 coming off of a very, very quiet week 2. It's tight end. That's what this is.
Yeah, and if you watch that game, you know that the game plan for Dallas was not to use Lamb or Cooper necessarily. They had 8 combined targets. They were showing the plays, like Greasy and Riddick were breaking down the plays where they were running these both tight ends and running then cross, and they were trying to trick the safeties, right? They were trying to take advantage of the beat-up safety situation for the Eagles, and it didn't work the first play. It did work after that, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, Jarwin took advantage to score 2 touchdowns. So it was part of the game plan with Dallas. Schultz had 6 for 80 and 2 touchdowns in that game, but 8 for 63 and no touchdowns the first 2 games. He's only run 5 more routes than Blake Jarwin this season, right? They're both still going to continue to steal from each other. It's 15-10 in targets as well, and you know the targets are going to get there for Lamb and Cooper. They're going to be utilized more often. I think that will be the case this week. So that's, for me, Schultz is not a guy you're considering as a tight end one just yet. So we'll see. But, you know, you're right. Dallas has a history here in the last, like, 20 years of these kind of backup tight ends for a while, and then they emerge and get paid out. Martellus Bennett may be the highlight, but you know, it just seems like those Jason Witten backups, they just kept churning out would seem to eventually pay off.
Didn't you break the news of where Martellus Bennett signed?
Yeah, he actually, it was free agency. the day of, he DM'd me for some reason. Like, he was following me for a while. He DM'd me and said, I'm going to tell you right at 4 where I'm signing. I was like, okay. I was still, like, at PFF. I was, like, very, very small time. And sure enough, right at 4:00, he said, I'm going to the Bears, and this is the contract, and I broke the news, yeah.
That was the catalyst to you becoming famous, right? Like, that's how you got to be famous.
But yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was.
Do you stay in touch?
What's that?
Do you kids stay in touch?
No, we don't. Yeah,
he
unfollowed me years later. I don't know. I think I ranked him like 25th at tight end one season, and then he just
that was it. That was it. The honeymoon was over.
That was it. Yeah.
How many times have you told your girls that story at bed?
I have not done that, but he actually does children.
He
books
does.
Now,
I mean,
right?
Yeah. That's where I was going with that. Was that, you know, I wondered if the friendship had continued and you had the children's books to prove it.
Yeah, about that.
Maybe someday we'll have a reunion and we'll become friends again.
The next tight end.
I like that.
Who is but the sign should break the news or allow Mike to break the news for that player on his behalf. All right, great stuff as always from Mike and Stefania. We are back tomorrow to dive into the latest on health updates from Stefania and all the most pressing storylines that you need to know to get you ready for the rest of week 4. In the meantime, enjoy Bengals and Jaguars tonight. Peace out. Do it, Mike. Peace out. Thank you.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.